I'm Morgan.
I'm Odette.
And I'm Madeline.
And we love Christian fiction.
We love it so much that we wanted to talk about it on a podcast.
Each episode, we will read classics of the genre or new releases.
And discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly. So come join us.
Hello, listeners.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
We are back. We are back for our final episode,
the grand finale
of season two.
This is it.
For season two. Not this is it. Totally.
Right. For season two.
Too many good books in the world. We're going to be doing this forever and ever.
Oh my God. We're never, I mean,
there's no shortage of books.
No, people keep writing.
If we wanted to, we could just keep going on forever. Mm-hmm. And we
absolutely
want to.
We want to. Infinity.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Odette, what? Obviously, we didn't read a book for today's episode. We're not discussing a book. Tell our lovely listeners what we're doing.
Okay, so we decided that we needed to give a season two recap. Highs, lows, favorite books, least favorite books, what we loved about season two, and all the things in between. So this episode is about all the books, not just about one book. So you kind of get like a cacophony. Is that a good word? Of books? No, that's not a good word.
Cornucopia is what you're
cornucopia
looking for. A cornucopia of books.
Cacophony kind of like insinuates noise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like cymbals clanging. Cacophony.
Okay. Maybe that's how I'm feeling. Like I would make a cacophony of noise about this episode and the fanfare.
Sure. Yes, I get that.
Yeah, and so that's tonight's episode, and we're really, really excited about it, and we've been giggling / texting / voice memoing about season two for the last couple of days in preparation for this, and yeah, we're excited to talk to everybody today.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Housekeeping. We should still do our normal housekeeping.
Oh, sure.
So if this is your first episode, welcome. We're so happy
this,
that you're
this
here.
This is a weird one to start on. I'm just going to say that you should maybe go back and listen to like a regular episode.
Maybe go back and listen to...
Go for it. I'm just telling you, this is kind of a weird episode to start on.
Yeah, because you're going to get a snippet of a lot of things that you would normally have to hear in each episode because it's a recap episode. But for those listeners who are familiar, we're going to do our housekeeping normal things. You're going to hear snacking. You're going to hear kids in the background. Don't worry yourself. It's life, and we're living it and loving books along the way. So here we are. And also, to be honest, you might hear trains. They've been pretty loud today outside of my apartment. So you know what? We're just going to roll with it.
I think that should be like our Instagram like bio. It's life. We're living it and loving books along the way. That's really good.
Good thing that this is recorded so we can reference this later.
On it. That's hilarious. I love it. It's life. We're living it and loving books along the way.
I do sometimes say good one-liners like that.
Oh, that was very good.
You often say good one-liners.
Regularly. You daily say good one-liners.
Okay. I should have figured out a way to like highlight like really funny moments or something from the podcast from all of us. That would have just been a delight. Maybe I'll do that for season three recap. Is figure out a way to tally.
Are we all doing the same for number one?
Huh?
Buckle your squashes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was one of my number one highlights from season two.
Let's talk about highlights, people. Buckle your squashes. Buckle your squashes.
Ahoy, mateys. Buckle your squashes.
I mean, we're never going to stop saying that now. So
we're never, as long as we live.
I literally say it all the time now.
Thank you. God. Thank you, Mary Lou Tyndall, for bringing about that inspiration from.
Okay. I love it. I'd like to thank everyone in my life who has listened to my sayings that has led me to this buckling your squashes kind of pinnacle moment. It's been amazing. So I think what would be helpful is I'm thinking, because we kind of want to start off with an overall season recap, and then we're going to jump into a lot of good things. So I think one of the things that would be helpful from my perspective, like the way I just said that, it was as if I was running a work meeting. Whoa, okay. Like, what's the agenda? Let's talk about it.
Time to switch gears.
This is the podcast. This is a podcast, not a work meeting. But is kind of to recap the general thing. So we went into this season intentionally choosing books that were going to challenge us and challenge, I think, even our tastes in books, potentially challenge our enjoyment of books, but also challenge kind of the fact that when we came out of season one, we had read a lot of, which is very lovely and wonderful, a lot of romance, some fun books that we really liked. So the goal was to kind of challenge ourselves.
And like, what is Christian fiction? Like, Christian fiction can look like a lot of different styles and genres. And we wanted to stretch ourselves to read some, a lot of those. And I think we did.
We truly did. Yeah. We read a lot of different types. We also read, I feel like, intentionally read some very well-known different genres of Christian fiction.
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
And it was a wild ride.
It was a wild ride.
It wasn't unpleasant the whole way. There were some parts that were unpleasant.
The whole way.
No.
But not the whole way.
No. I would say we read a lot less swoony books this year in comparison to swoony books.
Sure. Right. In comparison, for sure. But we did. I mean, there was a good amount of swoon.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. As per usual, we can't get away from it.
It's true.
And just a summary of our themes, I have my note here. We did a mystery thriller theme. Then we did a historical time period. Then we did a military theme. Then we did quirky offbeat picks. And then we did sci-fi fantasy and did YA kids. And then had kind of some other random books in there along the way. But those were kind of our main themes from season two.
Yep.
I guess it was more YA.
Yeah. So I don't feel like we read any kids, but I mean, kids could read the books we read, but.
Voyage of the Dawn Treader, isn't that technically a child's book?
Yeah, but that was in sci-fi fantasy.
Oh, that's true.
But yes, I mean, yeah, it was technically written for children.
Yeah. So. Sweet.
Good themes though.
Yeah.
Honestly, guys, great job picking those themes.
Pat ourselves in the back for that one.
Those were great themes. And I feel like we read some Hallmark Christian fiction. Mm-hmm. Not Hallmark as in like Hallmark as in like pinnacle Christian fiction titles.
Titles that most people know when you think of Christian fiction, you think of these titles. We hit a lot of those this year.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. This was our first season of having full guests too on the pod for episodes. So that was really fun. Y'all's husbands both joined. My brother joined. And then we also had an author join us for a full episode, the lovely Bethany Turner. So that was fabulous.
That was so much fun.
That was a highlight of my life. Just saying. One of the highlights of my life. Surreal.
Surreal. I was literally just listening back to that episode and like, wow. We also had Morgan's friend Kate on our last book episode of the season. So lots of really fun guests. And that was just, I feel like, a really fun dynamic. I think that's something when I look back at season two is I feel like we got so many good perspectives and heard from so many smart people who also love books, even if they don't love the same books that we love. And that was really fun because we've talked about this. I think the more that I read and the more that I talk about books and the more that I meet fellow book lovers is there's something, no matter what kind of book lover you are, communal about the experience of reading. And it just feels like you're a part of something bigger than yourself. And I really, really have enjoyed that as part of this podcast.
Agree. Yeah. Wanted to take it. I had written this down and now I don't know where I put it, but the number of authors that we interviewed this season, I think it was 17.
Nice.
I want to say it was 17, but I'm going to go back and double check real quick.
That's a great number.
Yeah. That's lovely. Yeah. while you're doing that, I do think too, and Morgan, maybe because you're a part of more kind of book communities, but I feel like this season even, and oh my God, and we went on the reader's retreat. I forgot. We did our first traveling as the podcast.
We did our first traveling as a podcast. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, we met authors and podcasters and readers, and we're all readers in our own way, but it was just delightful. So I feel like that is really fun. Do you know how many, Madeline?
It was 17.
Yep. Look at you. Crushing it. Crushing it on the numbers game. Yeah, making it happen. Yeah. I think, sorry, I lost my train of thought. It's been a Oh, I was just thinking back to the reader's retreat, how much fun that was, and then I got lost in my memories.
Oh, yeah, that was the blast.
Yeah. Anything else from overall season two?
I don't know. I think season two just makes me really excited for season three.
Yeah. Yeah. Really love that. So, and it feels like we were, not that we were intentional in season one, but in season two, I feel like we were more intentional about certain things, and the hybrid episodes were super fun, and I really love those, and those will definitely be back in season three. And
oh yeah, we started hybrids in season two, right? Mm-hmm.
Dani Petri was our first one that we did for her book.
Yes, which was great.
Yeah.
That book. That yeah. was a fun one. Oh yeah. Hybrids. Oh, I love hybrids.
Yeah. Anywho, so enough reflecting on season two. Let's dive in. Well, meaning that we're going to reflect as we go here. We're a reflective type.
Look, wait, no, we're going to continue reflecting.
But in the meantime, we're going to reflect on our top book. So I think it'd be fun if we start with our top books for season two.
Okay.
I couldn't whittle it down past five, so I have five.
I probably could whittle it down past five, but I didn't want to.
Yeah.
I also have five. I have two, and as we're going to continue talking, I think I'm going to add a third. Just have to think about it a little bit more.
Right.
So, but I had two that I thought of that I was like immediately like, oh, these are my top two.
Okay. Okay.
You know what
I mean? Well, I think that's great. Yeah. Who wants to go first and share some of their, maybe we just each do one? Kind of round robin it.
Oh, fun. Let's do it. Okay.
Madeline, why don't you go first?
Oh, okay. That was funny. Okay. Yes, I will go first. Well, on my list, the first one I wrote down, these are in no particular order. I think these were just in my top five. But the first one I wrote down was, you know what I'm going to say. The Rose and the Thistle by Laura Franz. Y'all already know. I'm just going to say this girl and Laura Franz. It's weird.
It's not weird. It's perfectly justifiable. Also, this season, you literally not only met Laura Franz virtually, but we met her in person at the reader's retreat. Double meeting.
And I'd like to think that we're sort of besties now. We're not. Nowhere near it, but in my heart, we are besties. No, The Rose and the Thistle is number one on my list. It ticks all the boxes for me as a reader. It's historical. It's romantic. It's like the language is elevated and lovely. And those are kind of like my three, like, that's perfect for me. Those three things. The setting is like lush. Mm-hmm. Loved it. Yeah, that book ticks all the boxes for me as a reader.
Love. Morgan, do you want me to go next?
Sure, you can go next.
So this is, I had a hard time deciding on like an actual 1, 2, 3, like in order of importance, but these are on my top five list. For me, Memory Lane.
Okay, yes.
Don't know. Just like Madeline, go. I feel like you say you talk about Laura Franz. I feel like Becky Wade is. I have read so many of her books, and this one in particular, I have probably already read 6 times this year. And I just get in a mood and I need to read it. And it checks a ton of my boxes. Swoony romance, there's always great conversations between, couples. There's always great characters. Also, there's always a mystery component. And there's always some sort of like drama and excitement and energy, and just, it checks all the boxes, to be honest. So for me, Memory Lane, I would also like to say that, not involving me, but Memory Lane was a first on our podcast, that one of us found the book as swoony as Mr. Darcy in a wet shirt, Colin Firth in a wet shirt. And that person was none other than Morgan herself.
None other.
And I just think that's amazing. And I know that in that episode, Madeline and I were like, maybe we'll find a book so swoony that we'll say that. It hasn't happened yet. And there's also not a finite number of those. You could say that a lot of books are that swoony if that's how you feel. I'm not going to judge.
What's the beauty of the swoon scale?
It's up for interpretation, you know? So, personal interpretation. So yeah, so Memory Lane, 10 out of 10. And I just cannot get enough of Becky Wade's books. And I keep rereading them. And every time that I reread them, I never regret it. So
sure, yeah.
Okay, so the first one on my list is The Bookshop of Secrets by Molly Rushmeyer. And this is the first one on my list, and probably also like my number one book of the year. If I'm being very like honest with myself, it's like my id. Like, this book just like speaks to something inside of me. And I will tell you, I think it's Molly herself, because I started The Lost Manuscript, and I'm about like a quarter of the way through it, and it's the same way. Like, just something about her writing style, the story she likes to tell, like, it just speaks to something inside of me that is so like, this is all I ever want to read. Like, this is the type of story I want to read. She has mystery, there's romance, they're all like wrapped in this beautiful like layer of, everybody loves books and literature, so there's all these wonderful references in it. The settings are beautiful and a little bit like dreary bleak, which is perfect for me. So Bookshop of Secrets. And that was one of those, like, I picked it up and started reading it, and immediately, like, first couple pages, immediately texted the girls, we have to have this author on the podcast. Mm-hmm. We have to do a book on the podcast, because it's so like, just from page one, just grabs you. And it was just so perfect. I still, honestly, I'll probably reread it sometime soon. Because just talking about it makes me want to, jump into the story. But yes, that's for sure my top book. I guess I could have gone in descending order, but whatever. That was my top book of season two for sure.
Also, we got to interview Molly, and then we met her in person too, yes, at the Reader's Retreat, which is just so fun that like we get to say that about authors now. I love it so much.
And she was so delightful to talk to. Like, she's just charming and funny. And in our interview with her, like, it was very much, we ended the interview and all three of us were like, yes, that was a kindred spirit. Like, what a fun interview that was.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I love it. Okay. Madeline, do you want to go for your next one?
I'm thinking now, like, probably The Rose and the Thistle was my top book for season. Now, reading over my list again, it probably was my top book for season two, which is great. So I'll go with the second one on my list, which is Bashio. Brent and Sebastian hate each other. Which is so funny to me, because it is so completely opposite of The Rose and the Thistle. Still in my top five books, and probably like, yeah, it's my number two book of the season. Like, I loved this read so much. And yeah, we'll talk more about this stuff later, but I loved the redemption of this book. It was so powerful and so beautiful. The characters made you hate them. I loved it. Mm-hmm. I was for it. I was here for it. The setting was like, made me feel, the setting to me was like nostalgic, even though I've literally never been to Colorado, anywhere in Colorado. There was something about it that felt like, I know this town. Mm-hmm. and I don't. And I love that. I love that it felt that way. So, Brynn and Sebastian Hate Each Other by Bethany Turner.
So that's actually the next one on my list. But if I'm thinking, yeah. That's the book that I gave 5 stars to on this season. So I think this is going to have to be my top pick for the season. But for me, I loved it for so many reasons. Agree, Madeline. Also, y'all know I'm a Bethany Turner fan. I have to say one fun thing that I've loved about doing this podcast is it's very, very common for people to come up to me now and be like, so what books would you recommend? And now I know, based on also the way Morgan asked people, so what kind of books do you like? And so my one friend is trying to get into kind of reading again. And so I gave her a copy of The Do-Over, and she started reading it. And I know that we didn't read that this season, but we read it last season. And she was like, oh my God, it reads like a rom-com. And I was like, it does. That's what I love about Bethany Turner's books. Because yes. Friend and I do watch rom-coms together fairly often. So it's really fun, I think, to read books that just make you feel like the characters are real. And I feel like the reality of the way Bethany Turner writes, I feel like I could see them, like they could be my neighbors. I mean, I don't live in Colorado, but they could be my neighbors. And like, I would see their story on TV or whatever. And I just love it. And also I feel like the back and forth of her characters is always 10 out of 10 in my book. And her, sometimes it's like she has this lovely, well, not sometimes, but this lovely cast of characters that are part of the story, but then also like add to it and add to the redemption. And you kind of see components too. And I'm so excited that this is the first time that we're also going to get more from this town next year.
I'm so excited.
So yeah, I'm so excited about that. But yeah, easily one of my
So good. It's going to be so good.
It's going to be so good. Morgan, what's your next book?
Yes. So, well, one thing I wanted to say real quick is that was one of the things that's so fun for me about this season in particular is there were two different times with Bethany Turner and Becky Wade that I like it just like I'm fully invested in the series now. Like I'm just, yes. And I love that. Like I'm a big series reader. I love it when I could find a series that I can just like sink my teeth into. And now I'm just so excited for the next books in the series. Like I can't wait. Like I'm so invested. I'm so excited. I guess I could technically not my number two, but they are definitely favorites of mine. I'm going to go ahead and say both Memory Lane and Bashio. I'm kind of like lumping into the same. I was originally not going to put them on my list just because, not because they weren't favorites, but because I knew I was like, oh, we can't all say they have the exact same favorites. But Odette's like, yeah, we can. Why can't we? I did love them. And I think one of the reasons why I think Bethany Turner is both of these ladies, Bethany Turner has this like magical thing about her writing where it's just so fun. And like Odette said, like you can see it playing out in front of you. Mm-hmm. And then Becky Wade tells these amazing gut punch stories that are just so good. So absolutely. And then the fact that it started these two series now that I'm just like, I'm here till the end. I'm going to read every single book in these series. I don't care how many there are. There's probably not going to be enough for what I want there to be, but I will read them all. Probably pre-order all of them because I'm that invested. So that's, I'll put kind of those two together as my like number two.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I feel like too, it's the kind of thing where I think the listeners are expecting us all to rip about those books because if they listen this season,
if they listen to the episode,
and here's the thing, listeners, you can absolutely expect we're not going to give everything away for season 3, but I'm gonna tell you right now, Laura Fran's going to be in it, Bethany Turner and Becky Wade, all those books are going to be in it. Like I'm just telling you right now, they're automatic reads, auto reads. We put these authors on lists, and that's just going to be what it is. So we're here for it.
Yes,
fans for life. You know what I'm saying, fans for life.
So now I feel like I'm going to say my number three, but then I'm going to jump to my number four and move on with that one. Because my number three is my name.
I mean, you can say if there's reasons why you loved it that we didn't talk about.
It's for the same reasons as what you guys said. Becky Wade is a master a master storyteller. Becky Wade mm-hmm. is a master storyteller. Like, I don't know how else to say it. She was designed by God to tell stories, and mm-hmm. she is walking in her gifting, and it's fabulous. Everything you read from her is just like, is moving and funny mm-hmm. and
the swooniest.
It's at the same time, like, how can it be all of these things? Anyways, but I'm jumping to my number four. It's all those things.
What? Can I say one thing real quick? If you okay. are a Becky Wade fan and you cannot wait for her next book to come out in February of 2024,
because we
can suggest a series that she wrote a little while ago called the Bradford Sisters Romance. There's three books. It's about sisters, and it has all those components. And tell you what, you will just binge them all. You will binge them all, and you will not regret it. So, little recommended reads for you there. I've read each of those probably four times already.
Oh my gosh.
Reading is a stress relief for me, and I have a stressful job.
Yeah. People smoke cigarettes. That's pretty good.
I just reread Becky Wade books.
She just rereads Becky Wade.
And Sarah Blackard's too.
Healthier for your lungs, that's for sure.
For sure. Okay, sorry, Madeline.
What okay, do you want to my number four, you guys?
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited.
It's Pudge and Prejudice.
Yes, I was not expecting that. Guys,
I loved that book. We only read mm-hmm. this a couple weeks ago, but I have not stopped thinking about this book since we read it. I have literally been thinking about this book for 2 weeks. That rarely happens to me. And in a YA Pride and Prejudice retelling, I'm blown away. I was like, this has to be in my top five because I literally can't stop thinking about this book. And I loved it so much. AKA Pittman. Yay.
Morgan's, I feel like heart is happy on so many levels right now.
I am. I'm so happy.
Okay, so my next one, Morgan, you already mentioned this, but it's on my list for sure. Bookshop of Secrets. And I loved all the things that Morgan said about it. But one thing I really loved is she hit on really big issues and hit on them in a way that felt very kind and relatable. And it didn't feel overdone. And I feel like sometimes some of the big issues she addressed in the book and the kind of personal growth and things that felt like a really intentional kind of choice as an author. I also really appreciated how the book, for the fact that it was her debut novel, we talked about this on the episode, it didn't really seem like that. Like, there was so many good things and the characters flowed really well and everything kind of worked together. I also loved that there was little gems of pirates and just like adventure and action and mystery and treasure hunting and all these things that ended up being that you did not expect going into it. And I really do love when you start a book and you know it's going to be good. It's like Morgan said, from the first page, I knew that, but I had no idea the unexpected twists and turns that the book would take. And it was so delightful and wonderful. And so really enjoyed that book this season.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
So my number three book is Buried Secrets by
Irene. Okay.
I loved this book. We read it basically in the beginning, right?
Yes.
And gosh, it was so good. I love mysteries. So obviously that, but gosh, I thought it was so well done. And you are in the mind of the killer for a lot of the book. And mm-hmm. sometimes that can really, I always find it intriguing when authors do that. I'm a big Criminal Minds fan. So I always find that intriguing, but sometimes it can get very dark very quickly. And mm-hmm. I thought that Irene Penn did a really good job of it. It never felt like it wasn't like, I didn't feel like I had to like cleanse after I read it. You know what I mean? It was like, I read it and I enjoyed it. And then I moved on. I didn't have to like palate cleanse mm-hmm. afterwards, which I think is hard to do. It's like a very fine line that you have to balance when you're writing from the point of view of the killer. But yeah, I really loved the book. I the one that comes after this too, and I liked that one a lot as well. It was great. It was a really good reading experience reading it.
Can I tell you, Morgan, that was almost on my list? Like, if we picked top 10, I feel like it would be on there. But I feel like the only reason why it's not is I wanted more romance.
Yeah, and see, that was the one where I was like,
yeah. I was like, bring on the romance. I want you to fall in love while you're following clues. That's what I want in a book.
Fall in love while following clues. That's what everybody wants. But no, see, and that one for me, like, I could have done without the romance. And I think it was just because I was so interested in the mystery part of it that I, like, didn't really care. Just like, whatever, I don't care. But
yeah, I remember we talked about that during the episode too. So no problems. Right. That's just from my point of view.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Madeline, what's the last one on your list here?
Well, the last one on my list is also The Bookshop of Secrets.
I love it. Not I love it.
In our list, but that, I mean, the listeners shouldn't be that surprised because we were all friends before we started this and we all have similar vibes and tastes. So the fact that our top faves are pretty much all the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, The Bookshop of Secrets, I felt like reading that was like refreshing. Reading that book, it was just like, oh, it was such a good story. It was so, like, the characters were just so, you loved them, and you're like, your heart broke for them. And the end, when she's like driving away in the top in the food truck, but it breaks down. I feel like it was so. I just,
I need to read that again.
I mean, it is so good, Molly. You hit it out of the park, and I have not started the last manuscript yet, but I cannot wait to do so because The Bookshop of Secrets is one of the best books I read this year. Clearly, it's on my list.
Madeline, I think for sure you're gonna love The Lost Manuscript.
There's I know I am.
Right, but like, there's something about it when I like, even as I'm reading it, I'm like, I think certain things about it will really resonate with you, and I'm super excited. Like, I want to discuss it with you. I just think that it'll really.
Maybe we need to read it in season 3 and discuss it together because I feel like if we're big fans, we should add it to our list.
You guys know that I'm fine with that.
I'm 100%.
If you only read a quarter of it, Morgan, just stop reading till next season, and then we'll go from there.
Or keep reading and read it again.
Yeah. Either way. Whatever. Yeah.
Pull a Odette with a Becky Wade.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly.
Okay, so here's another author that I can't get enough of. Y'all want to guess what book I'm going to say next for my number 4?
It's got to be Falling for Zeke.
Yes. I was about to say Sarah Blackard.
I know the author, Sarah Blackard, so my guess is Falling for Zeke.
Yeah.
Was it Finding Zeke or Falling for Zeke? Falling for Zeke.
Oh, wait. Falling for Zeke.
Finding Zeke.
Oh, what is Finding Zeke? I'm sorry.
I was like,
Falling
I
for
mean,
Zeke.
Yeah. So this book I devoured. I remember reading it multiple times before the episode because they're very short books, easy to read. They have all, this book checked a lot of my boxes for sure. Romance, suspense, action heroes, women who can stand on their own 2 feet, but also need a protective man. That's, to me, it's 10 out of 10, you know? I like a woman who can, you know, make things happen, but then also when she needs help, there's a guy there to help her. You know, I like that a lot. Or just that, like, the woman isn't just so weak, you know, that she can't do anything. I appreciate that about books. Also, this was the first book in Sarah Blackard's Striker Force series. And I have read every single one of those since except the last one. I'm finishing that. And some of them I have made done rereads. So it's the rereading a book is the same for me. I mean, I rewatch TV shows all the time. And I actually did some studying about this, that certain personality types, which I'm one of those, if you're highly sensitive and stuff, that you'll rewatch things that you know the outcome or reread things because it doesn't require any sort of attention from your mind other than the enjoyment of it, because you're not worried about what's going to happen. You don't have to consider twists and turns. So I think that's why I rewatch and reread, because I love it. And even if I've done it before, it's comforting. It's like very, very comforting to me. So Sarah Blackard, really, really good books. We also read Vestige of Power, no, Vestige of Hope.
Vestige of Hope.
Vestige of Hope this season. Also really good book. But for me, Finding Zeke was on my top five list. Really, really big fan and will continue to be. So thank you, Sarah, for writing such lovely books that are palatable, easy to read, and grip you the whole time, and also make you fall in love with the characters and, you know, life.
Yes. Love. You should do your last one too, and then I'll give my last two, since Madeline has already given her one.
Okay. So this was a surprise for me in my top five, but The Rose and the Thistle. Historical has not been one of my top genres. See what I did there? Yeah. But I love the way Laura Franz writes. And Madeline, you described it as lush. I feel like that's a great way to describe it. To me, it reads like something that is classic literature in all the best ways. Everything about it, you get lost in it. And I feel like I just want to go out to a moor and walk around and read this book. You know, you just like get lost in it. And the characters and the romance, the swooniness, let me tell you what, it just sucks you in. And I feel like it took me a little bit. I feel like I was mentioning this. I can't remember if I said this to you ladies on a recording or just said this. Oh, no, I said it, I think, on the Winter by the Sea recording. But I feel like, Madeline, you're always in a historical, like, you could pick up any historical book and jump right in. It took me a little while to get into this one, but then I literally could not put it down, and I became obsessed. And again, historical is not usually my genre that I love, but Laura Franz is an exceptional writer. Getting to meet her and talk to her was just amazing, because the way she's so thoughtful in her research and the way that she basically transports you in time, but you also don't feel like it's made up. Like, you feel like this actually happened. Like, I feel like I really enjoy that about her books, and the characters came alive and you empathize with the characters. You also root for them. You also, like, there's twists and turns in her one book that I've read, so I would assume that's the case for all of them. So yeah, really, really enjoyed that. And to me, that was like I don't want to say that it was surprising, but it definitely was. It surprised me when I was reading it how much I liked it, but it was midway through. It wasn't at the end. There's other books that we're going to get into another segment here to talk about surprising books, but it just was like, whew, so good. So good. Big fan. And I feel like Laura Franz is going to be an automatic read for any new books that she writes.
Odette, I really want you to read The Colonel's Lady.
Okay. Do you have a copy that I can borrow? I
really want you to read it. I actually don't think I have a copy of that.
Okay, well, I'll find one at the library or somewhere else.
You have to read that one. It's so good.
I feel like that needs to be. I'm on break from work next week, so I feel like
I'm smiling about it. It's very good.
Have you read that one, Morgan?
Mm-mm. This was the first and only Laura Franz that I have read, I think, was in this season.
Nice.
I think. Okay, so my last two are ones that have already been mentioned, so I'll just go real quick through them. My number four is Finding Zeke by Sarah Blackard. And I haven't read the whole Stryker Security Force series like Odette, but I have read a few of the other ones in the series. And I agree. Like, it's just, like, they're short, they're mm-hmm. fun, and it's just, like, nonstop. From the moment you open the book till the moment you close the book. And it's fabulous.
So one thing I'll say too about shorter books is with Sarah Blackard, do you ever read a short book and feel like you wanted more, you know, because you feel like the story wasn't complete? The thing I appreciate about Sarah's book is she goes into it and it's like, this book is going to be X amount of pages. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. It's a shorter book, but it's gripping enough, but also the romance moves enough, the story moves enough, the character development, it all moves enough that, like, you want more because you want more of this, the series and the tone, but you feel like each story is its own individual. And there's some pretty swoony books in her series. Not gonna lie to you, Madeline. So if you're looking for for some,
I read Finding Zeke and
Vestige of Hope. No,
because I read another one in the Striker Force series.
Did you read? Okay, which one?
I think it was Jake.
Yes, I think that was the.
Wasn't that like a forced proximity?
Yes, that's the one where.
That's the one I read.
Was that the one where they got trapped in that cabin in the mountains?
Yes, it was so good. A great book.
What a great book. Yeah. And I feel like none of these are surprising to me at all, as far as our top picks, except Pudge and Prejudice, Madeline. That surprises me for you. I would have thought they would have been on Morgan's list before yours if I was a betting woman.
I mean, I was surprised by it too, but honestly, I loved that book so much.
Yeah.
Loved it. But we didn't hear your fifth one in your list, Morgan.
Well, my fifth one is Pudge and Prejudice.
I literally just got done saying I'm surprised that to me because we didn't let you finish the list.
I'm a sucker for a Jane Austen retelling, and I thought this was really well done, and it's always so delightful as someone who's such a Janeite and who reads so many retellings. Like, it's so delightful whenever you read one where the author is so clearly like, you're like, oh, she's a Jane Austen fan. Like, there were so many fun little Easter eggs in that book that were just like even more so than being a Pride and Prejudice retelling. There were even extra. And so that was really, really fun to read. So that was probably my fifth favorite.
I love that. Wow. So, so, so fun. Amazing. Okay, so now on the complete opposite side, let's talk about our least favorite books from season 2. I don't know if I have 5 least favorite, but I definitely have 3 I can talk about.
Yeah, I don't have 5 for sure.
Yeah, I think I have 3.
Okay.
I have 2 and then some runners up.
Okay, there you go. Some runners up.
Can I go first?
Yeah, of course.
I want to go first.
Okay, go for it.
My number one most disliked book. Everyone knows what I'm going to say. Huh?
Should we guess?
You can. I know you. Everyone knows. Same
time? Radio Debt?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
We didn't say it.
That was, what? I was waiting for you to start saying it, and I was going to say
I was waiting for you to start saying it, and I was going to say it.
Oh my god!
I think you just need to say it.
It's Undetected by Dee Henderson.
I know
that's
what I'm going to say.
That's what we were going to say, but for some reason we didn't? Question mark?
I've gone on the record and blessed. Like, she has so many fans, but she's just not the writer for me. And this was really not the book for me. I couldn't. I really disliked it. It made me angry. I read it and it made me so mad that I was reading it while I was reading it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I get that.
I'm just laughing at the fact that we both hesitated when we could have just said it.
We could have just said it.
The joys of
that one is also on my list. So we're not going to rehash it. but the second, I had 2 on my list. And the second is Left Behind by Tim LaHaye and J.R.B. Jenkins. I have never in my life been more disappointed in a novel than I was in Left Behind. Because I grew up in the phenomenon of this series. And all my life, I'm just thinking this is just this like peak, pinnacle Christian fiction novel. Like, this is it. Left Behind. Everybody knows Left Behind. And then I read it and I was like, wow, that left a lot to be desired.
That left a lot of good feelings behind. It left behind my desire to ever read it again.
It left behind it got left
my behind. Sanity on the page.
It got my left sanity behind. Was left behind.
It left behind.
My good review was left behind.
It left behind so many questions as to its popularity.
Oh, I actually had somebody come up to me who, somebody that I know from church, but who listens to the podcast. And she was like, oh my gosh, I saw that you guys did an episode on the first Left Behind book, and I had to listen to it because I've never read those books and I've always been super curious about those books. And I was like, oh yeah, what'd you think of the episode? She goes like, well, now I feel like I don't need to read the book, so thanks for that.
There you go. We like to help listeners across the way.
I'm sure she may end up listening to this, so shout out. She'll know who she is if she hears this.
I would say, Madeline, so interesting, that did not make the top of my list, even though I didn't like that book, or it was one of my least favorite, because I had zero expectations going into it. So I think for me, I knew that it wasn't going to be great. Yeah, and so for me, I think because of that, versus there were other books that I was like, oh, we'll see how this goes, you know, along the way. So for me, I don't know that I have it in like chronological, or not chronological, but like order of importance. Mm-hmm. But Deadfall for me was one of the books that I just like.
Okay.
By Robert Luperlo. I think it was just a lot about it. I didn't really love the writing style, the story, and I just had a hard time with the book itself. And I think I described it on the episode as like, I've never been so bored and scared at the same time. And for me, that's like a terrible combination.
Yes.
So I feel like for me, it was like, about this. Yeah. And I know that it's some people's cup of tea. I felt like the things also like that exacerbated certain components that I was like, this was not needed. Like the hunting scenes and all that. It's like not my cup of tea. And, you know, just I feel like for me, then it extended mm-hmm. things that I didn't think that it needed to.
Sure.
So that's one of them.
I feel like that was like one of my runners up, mm-hmm. but I couldn't really decide if like it really was just a least favorite or if it was just like I just wasn't into it.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like a book like Three.
Yeah.
Or The Oath,
mm-hmm.
which I feel like both of those books are like great books in their own right.
Yes.
But I just wasn't very into them as far as the genre, but I can't really, I just feel weird calling them a least favorite because they like they're great, they're good books and mm-hmm. they have a lot of merit and value. Well, all books have a lot of merit and value, but within their own genres, like they're mm-hmm. excellent books. It's just like that I'm not super into that genre.
Yeah.
But I think I could probably say that Deadfall was, I definitely enjoyed Three and The Oath.
Yes.
More than same. Deadfall.
Same. Yeah.
Because I just felt like those books were better written. The story was better, more engaging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think too, for me, the question I wanted to ask myself is how I found God in that type of book. And so I feel like for me, The Oath and Three, I found God. And also The Three just shook me at the core because of the ending of that book. So for me, it's like, it can't be low on list. It's definitely not one that I'm like, oh, top books, yeah, but no. For me, it's not least favorite.
Yeah,
no, both right. To me, there was such an allegorical nature to it that like, while I didn't love it, to me, I saw a purpose in it. Whereas Deadfall for me kind of fell flat. So like that's,
yes.
I think kind of one of those components, for sure. Morgan, do you have another least favorite that you want to discuss?
Probably mine have already been also talked about, so I won't spend too much time on them. I didn't like Left Behind, for all those same reasons that everybody else said. And I was going to put Deadfall on my list of least favorites, but I think it was actually kind of enjoyable discussing it with Jeremiah. And okay. I felt like that, I don't know, like kind of enhanced the experience for me. So while I didn't necessarily enjoy reading it or care about the story, I had a lot of fun discussing it. So that mm-hmm. kind of made mm-hmm. it a little bit higher for me, maybe. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I can count that as a least favorite, truly. But I really disliked Undetected and Left Behind. So I would count both of those.
Okay. Fair. My next one is, these are kind of tied, and it's like, maybe runner up is a better way to say that, because I feel like I dislike them for various reasons, but for me, The Reliance and The Gentle Rebel were not my top books. I feel like
I forgot about The Gentle Rebel.
Like, I feel like there was a lot of,
I love that book.
You did love that book. But I feel like for me, and that's where it's like, maybe if there was a mid category, I know that I'm the one who was like, we should do least favorites and favorites. But if there was like a mid category where we kind of felt indifferent, like I would have been fine not reading that. But I was also okay that we read it, but it wasn't one of my favorites. That's how I felt about The Reliance and The Gentle Rebel, both those books. So I feel like least favorite is kind of dramatic, maybe in this sense, but you know, and also too, I think Madeline, your point about like some of these books are like in their own right, especially Gilbert Morris. He's such a fantastic, like well-known kind of historical fiction mm-hmm. Christian author. And so some of it could have just been that that particular story didn't resonate with me. It's not really my, you know, cup of tea. Those kind of things that can kind of add to that. So some might argue it might not be a fair comparison because I'm using my own personal bias of what I like and what I don't like, but that's the reality of
that's all you have, you know? Is your own personal bias.
It's true. Okay. So I think then the next thing for us to talk about, I'm actually really, really excited about this, is books that surprised us this season.
Books that surprised us or things that surprised us?
Either way.
Okay.
Do you want me to go first for a book that surprised me?
Sure.
So The Wayward by Tabitha Kaplinger was a book that surprised me, and it surprised me for a couple of reasons. One, not usually a fan of dystopian, and I was so pleasantly surprised at how much, even though reading the book, I was like, and I was like, but like the redemption and the conversation that we had about the Lord during that episode, and even with Tabitha, I feel like was just incredible. And so I feel like for me, I feel like I found God in surprising ways in that book and in the story. And so for me, I think that would be what I would say is the surprise, where I'm like, oh yeah, actually, like that was a surprising book. Actually recently thought, I might want to reread that at some point. Not soon, but in the future. I think that because there was components that I was like, "Ooh, this is tough to read," but it was tough to read because there was parts about it where she identified, I think, human aspects of things and like maybe potentially like sins and the way that we view ourselves. And there was just so much to it that it was like it felt like deeper, I think, than what I was expecting. And also that book was very surprising because we thought it was going to be something else.
That's true.
You remember that? We thought it was going to be fantasy, and then it ended up being dystopian. Yes. But yeah, I feel like for me, it was surprising at how much like I found it. Maybe because maybe sometimes the surprise factor for reading a book is if you go in with kind of like not a ton of expectations, but enough, you know, and then you're like, oh, this isn't whatever you're like, but wow. And I think that's the beauty of Christian fiction is it's not just always about like the story, sometimes something in you and something the Lord teaches you through the pages. So I always find that. And I think that for me, The Wayward was one of those books that like really surprised me in good ways versus the expectation that I was like, oh boy, let's dive in. Like it's going to be like Fahrenheit 451 or something, you know, and it ended up not being, and I ended up walking away like full of hope and promise of what life can look like regardless of your circumstances with Christ. So anyways, that's kind of my surprise factor to start.
What a great plug for that book too.
What about you, Madeline? Any surprises from your side?
I had on the first book that surprised me was Tapestry of Grace. Do you guys remember that book?
Oh my God, yes.
Super early on in the season. And I had that on my list because I felt like the cover and even like the back cover copy, like felt very like, oh, I know what this book is going to be about. Like it's a historical, it's like small town. I've got this. Like I know what this is going to be about. It felt like it could have been very formulaic and it was not at all. And the redemption arc of that book, especially for those, like, the two main female characters, was so beautifully done. And I still think about their story sometimes. And I was so moved by that book. And it just seems like you look at the cover and it's just like so unassuming.
You did not expect that. Now that you're saying that, it reminds me, because the redemption was multiple fold. So, like, I remember the two, the one female character, she got this like redemption in her marriage. And on top of it, she always wanted to be a mother. And then she ended up, I might just get emotional here. I'm sorry. She ended up being able to adopt a child, and she adopted two kids, right? Because, like, and that was the part where it was like the redemption was multi-layered and multifaceted. So I feel like that's something where we can definitely, I think, this is why I knew this recap episode would be so fun, because we would remember things about books that we didn't before.
It's my turn?
Yes.
Okay, great. So I, both of those are actually on my list. So I will go with, and for the same reasons that you guys mentioned, so I will go with another one. One's on my list, a different one, is Appalachian Song.
Okay.
By Michelle Shockley. I think that, I don't know, like, I think I just wasn't expecting to be so, like, it moved me so much. The story was so powerful. And I think that because of that, I just wasn't expecting to be so like floored by the story. So that's probably why it shocked me. It wasn't necessarily like, I didn't go into it thinking I wasn't going to enjoy it. I just wasn't like expecting to be like weeping while I was reading it. Right. So that's probably why.
Well, and that book surprised me, because I don't know how it happened, but it did, that it was about, about birth so much and midwifery. I was not expecting that. And
another surprise.
I will never forget another surprise. Do you remember, Madeline, when we were reading that book, I texted you guys and I was like, I'm like, midwifery is kind of a character in this book. And you guys were like, that's literally the whole point of this book. And I was like, what?
It was not surprising to Morgan or I, but yeah, that was really thrown.
I was.
Yeah. It was really thrown. Yeah.
And I feel like that book probably resonated with you two differently than it did with me. We talked about this in the episode, because I'm not a mom and I've never been pregnant. Sure. And so, like, it's very different, I think, than if you're a mom and you've been through that and you can kind of find kind of God in unique ways, I think, in a story. I mean, the story was beautifully written, and there's definitely parts where it's like you kind of see God in different ways. And I feel like that was really great in different kind of situations and different time frames. And so that's always beautiful. And it was a very redemptive book at the end, which is lovely. So yeah.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah. Any other surprise books, Madeline, from your
side? I have on here The Vestige of Hope.
Yeah.
And I think I put that down because I was surprised at how much, like, it worked for me. Mm-hmm. Genre-wise. Like, kind of time slip, time travel, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Book that I don't read a lot of. But it just, I think I was surprised, like, just how much I really liked the book and how it worked for me. So I think that's why I had it on my list. But again, Sarah Blackard, who we have mentioned quite a bit so far in this recap episode. She's one that you will definitely be hearing. We'll definitely be reading more of her books in season 3.
Oh, absolutely. Speaking of surprises, I kind of teed this up, but I feel like the ending of the book that surprised me the most was definitely 3. I feel like it took me days to get a big twist. And listeners, I would tell you, if you have yet to read 3 by Ted Dekker, my recommendation is read it and then listen to the episode, because we give full spoilers, which we do in every episode. But I don't know if I'm still over that. Like, sometimes I randomly think about that. I think when I was reading, especially The Oath and Deadfall, because I was like, I preferred Ted Decker's book over, definitely over Deadfall. I feel like for me, that one and The Oath are pretty even, but I'm still not over that kind of surprise twist ending. So, especially maybe because I was literally reading it in your living room. I don't know what we were.
Oh yeah, I know.
I remember being like, oh my God, I remember like tossing it.
We literally got to watch her reacting to the twist.
I was like not prepared because you think you know what's happening and then he just like swoops in. Yeah. The other thing I'm thinking a lot about is because I've obviously read and to this day I read non-Christian fiction and books. And I think that one of the things that I've really seen across the board this season is how authors' relationship with the Lord and how like their goal of speaking to you on some level from a Christ-centered perspective, whatever that looks like, and however that fits in story, some of it's more blatantly obvious, some of it's more like in redemption or kind of in the character stories or in the character's self-discovery, these kind of things. Some of it's more subtle, I would say. But I have to say that I feel like I grew as a Christian and grew as a kind of believer in understanding the way that Christ's redemption looks like and how even in the small things. And I feel like there's a lot of episodes where we talked about how no matter where you're at in life, that like there's components that's relatable to you in characters. And I feel like this season, because we read so many different types of books, I feel like there's something typical about the way, I'm not saying it's always the case, but a lot of Christian romance, it's like along with falling in love, they find God, or along with, you know, discovering stuff about themselves through romance, they find the Lord in a new way. But I feel like because we read such a wide variety of genres of books, we found God in different and unexpected ways throughout the pages. And I feel like that's something really lovely that I'll always carry from season two.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Because I feel like it's when you have to look at a book like The Oath and kind of like digest how you found God and you actually have a really heartfelt discussion around like looking at ourselves, are we dragons? You know, like, is there things in us that kind of rears its ugly head and you have to kind of like self-reflect versus like, it's a little bit easier in a book, you know, like Memory Lane, you know, like I'm not saying that, it's just, I think it's been a really good challenge, I think, for us as hosts of this podcast and voracious readers to see how God is displayed in kind of various stories and character development and, you know, through even authors' personal experience, you know, along the way. So.
Yeah, for sure. And isn't that just like amazing? Because that was the whole goal of season two was to like get to this point where we really were stretching ourselves. And that's amazing. So good. Yeah.
So good.
The other thing is not a book, but another thing that I just like was surprised by in season two was just how much I was drawn to and how much I loved so many of the contemporary books that we've read. Cause I feel like traditionally I have like just never read that much contemporary based fiction. I've just pretty much been a strictly kind of historical gal. Obviously we read some in season one, but as far as like my own reading taste, it's like, I just pick up historicals and literally four out of my five top books were contemporary reads. I'm really surprised by that. And I love it. So, well, technically I guess Pudge and Prejudice can't really be called contemporary anymore because the 80s were 40 years ago. In my head, it should be contemporary, but it's probably not, huh?
But it's not historical. More contemporary
than the levels of historicals you normally read, probably.
Right. Than like 1760s.
Yeah. So. Very, very true. One could argue that the 80s are contemporary between the 1770s.
Exactly.
Yeah. I do want to say that... have y'all seen those memes on the internet where it's like 30 years ago and you're like, oh yeah, that was like the 1980s and 1970s, and it was like 1935. Oh my goodness, it just,
I know, I was talking to Jeremiah the other day and I was like, you know, like when you were a kid growing up and you would like watch an old quote-unquote movie and it was like a movie from the 40s or the 50s,
yeah,
and it was an old movie. And they were like, you know, from 50 years ago. And when our kids are going to be watching quote unquote old movies, the movies that will be 50 years old are like 80s movies. Oh my gosh, that is so weird.
It makes you feel old.
You feel so old.
So funny. I will say that, so growing up, we watched a lot of, and I've talked about this on the pod, like we didn't watch kind of like current old, like current movies in the 90s, but we watched a lot of movies from like the 1960s. So there are some, they're on Disney Channel Plus, and like I have watched some of those, and like, oh my God, they still hit. Some of them are like, whoo, baby, it's way different now. But there are some that still hit, you know. I recently watched That Darn Cat with Haley Mills. I'm like, I don't know, that movie just makes me laugh so much.
That's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
Friend Screech, I think his name is, or something, or Scooter or something. I don't know. It's maybe Surf. I don't know. He has some kind of like name like that. Anywho, I digress. This is not a movie podcast, so we should move on. Morgan, anything else that surprised Canoe. You, book or otherwise, from this?
Canoe season? Is his name.
Canoe. I knew it was something related to an inanimate object.
That's so funny.
No, I don't have anything else to add. All of the surprising things that I had, I feel like you guys covered why they were surprising to me too. So I don't need to elaborate.
Okay, great. So I think then our final kind of segment here is to just say thank you, listeners. Thank you for tuning in weekly. This ended up being weekly podcast, which is a pleasant surprise to us. We were originally thinking it'd be twice a month, but we had so much content and so many authors reaching out to us and their publicists. And just like, I am still floored the fact that we talked to 17 authors and they shared their stories, talked to us about their book, their writing process, and we got a peek into their lives. And I feel like that is just something that I'm going to be forever grateful for. Mm-hmm. For sure. Gosh. Yeah. And it's so shocking to me. That's surprising that this many authors want to talk to us, like our little podcast.
It's so funny to me too, that we literally like started season two saying like, oh, this is going to be a twice a month.
Yeah, we did.
And like from the get go, we had too much content and we got to release every week. And I think that's such a huge, like, that's amazing. That's so That's amazing.
Yeah. And I remember when we were planning for season two, it was really warm out and it was before Madeline had her baby. And I remember we were standing in my apartment pool. We were talking about the podcast. Morgan's like, what if we did weekly episodes? And Madeline and I were like, that is absurd, Morgan. How would we ever do that much content? And we were like, that is literally absurd. And then it was like April and we're like, well, guess we're doing that now.
Not that absurd, so apparently.
And delightful.
Apparently, Odette, you and me are the absurd ones. We're not.
Apparently.
You guys didn't say it was absurd. You were both just like, that seems like a lot of pressure to put on this soon. I don't think we should do that. It was more just like that.
Yeah. I mean, there was a little bit of a weekly, you know, it was kind of. Sure. Yeah. And also, I think I was being like, y'all are having babies and like, you know, but it's been delightful. And it's just been so fun. And I'm just really grateful. I'm grateful for all the books that we read, all the authors that we talked to, and, you know, lovely, lovely readers who've reached out and talked to us. And
I just wanted to like, just list a couple more books that were on the season two list, just to reminisce for a moment. Wanted to mention The Marquesa by
Stephen. Yes. That was a good book. That was on my sixth. That was number six for me on my top five.
Was it? I love that.
Yeah.
What a great book. And then I also wanted to mention Until Leaves Fall in Paris by Sarah Sundin.
Yes.
I love that one.
That was excellent.
Very good book.
And then one that was a little bit more recent, Hope at the Ocean's Edge, Chantal McDonald.
Yes. Oh, so good.
Such a good book. Just had to mention a couple more.
Also, The American Immigrant.
That was yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I feel like we can just go on and on.
The girls are going to laugh at me, but I just have to plug this book that we did not read on the podcast this year.
Oh boy. Oh boy. What are you going to say?
But we interviewed T.I. Lowe.
Oh yes.
We interviewed T.I. Lowe on the podcast this year and we talked about her book Indigo Isle that came out this year. I read that book. We did not read it and discuss it on the podcast, but listeners, you have to know that that book changed my life. And you have to read it. You should go read it.
We talked about putting it on season 3.
It's so good.
It's so good. Yeah, I feel like that was one that I'm like, we probably all would have had it on our top 5 how we read it for the pod. So yeah, amazing. Amazing, amazing. And yeah, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that we were able to release. I think I counted, but I don't want to promise because it's a little bit hard to count from my side. But I think we've released 69 episodes up to this point. So I think this
might be our... I was like, not in season 2, surely.
No, total. I think this might be our 70th episode.
Whoa.
I mean, I'd love one of you to fact check me and check that, but I counted twice and I got 68 one time and 69. So I was like, I'm going to go with 69.
Sure. So this being the 70th episode.
Feels kind of fun. Really nice. Yeah. And I do promise that we're going to make a big deal about our 100th episode. The 50th we thought about, and then we're just too busy making content, reading books and playing with babies and living life and, you know, to kind of call that out. But don't you worry, listeners, 30 episodes or 31 episodes from now, there will be fanfare and you will all be here for it.
I do have an answer for you if you want an answer.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Tell us.
So it depends is actually the answer, because we have recorded and released, this will be the 70th episode, correct? Okay. Currently, what people can access with this episode is there are 69 episodes.
69. Yes.
Got it.
We know what episode it is.
Yes. So, but this is our 70th episode to record and release, correct?
Yes.
Love that.
I'm going to go, yeah, we should go with that then, because that's such a nice little button.
I do, to the end here. What a journey, ladies. What a journey. And listeners, so... this year, at the end of season 1, we took a break for January. We're doing the same thing again. To be honest, some of it is we need a reset. It is not that we are not excited to read books and dive in. It is not. We just need a little break ski in there. And so that's what we're doing. So this is our last episode of season 2. And we will be starting season 3. The first episode will come out February 12th. 2024. We've got a lot of good things in store. We've been planning, talking, scheming, and it's just going to be delightful. And I feel like there's a lot here that we could, from a perspective, I feel like we could talk about, but I think it'd be more fun to give the listeners something to look forward to, just like we have to look forward to some books.
All I'm going to say is
we're beaming, we're excited, we're so grateful for all of you tuning in regularly and listening to our deep dives, our laughs, our spoon scales, our relevant reads, our recommended reads, our relevant research,
yes.
And Mads Rads reviews, and all the components, our star ratings, and bearing with us as we did theme upon theme upon theme, and all those things. And yeah, it's been a really fun season and a delight to kind of bring this to you all again.
Yeah. Yes. Thanks, guys. Absolutely. You are the best. So thankful for everybody who listens to this podcast.
Seriously, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be continuing the way that we are without you as listeners. So we're so, so thankful for you.
And I wanted to give a shout out here to a email that we got this week, actually, from a listener, Sarah. So she said, "Hi, ladies. I loved listening to season 2 of the podcast, and I'm looking forward to season 3. And then she recommended some radio dramas, which is kind of fun. I haven't listened to a radio drama in a long time, and I feel like that might rekindle something deep inside me that Adventures in Odyssey and Rangerville untapped in me when I was a child. Do y'all remember Ranger Bill?
Yes.
Ranger Bill, Warrior of the Woodlands. Like, that's what I'm thinking as far as radio dramas go.
I loved getting this email. That was delightful.
It was so delightful. And then she said, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year of podcasting. So thank you, Sarah. Thank you for listening. Thank you, listeners. You know, feel free to email us if you have questions or thoughts or even things that you'd love to see in season 3 or things that you love, books that you loved in season 2. Feel free to DM us on Instagram or send us an email. We're still here and, you know, just taking a little break from recording, but definitely still here to talk about all things books and, yeah, go from there. That's all, I think, ladies. Anything else?
I think that's it.
I think that's it.
Season 3.
Yeah. So we'll talk to you next year in season 3. Buckle your squashes because it's gonna be amazing. And right now, our goal is to not challenge ourselves. That's all I'm gonna say. Thank you, listeners. We'll see you next year.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode.
Follow us on Instagram at Redeeming Lit Podcast and be sure to subscribe on Apple or Spotify so you don't miss any episodes.
If you have any questions or book recommendations, email us at redeeminglitpodcast@gmail.com.
Until next time,
keep it lit.